Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, I've done two shows in 1 week. Unbelievable. I still haven't posted last week's shows, though. So that'll be happening over the weekend. Oh, crap. I am really seriously crap at the moment. Joining me to not post a show for another 2 weeks is a fantastic team. Missing Brett Terpstra, though, because he's supposed to be here. Starting us off, Doc. What are you doing?
How's it? It's normal time, so I'm okay.
Yeah, you've been loving the last 2 weeks, haven't you?
Hell yeah. Had coffee, took a dump, took some vitamins, drank some water, worked on an iMac. Like, this is weird. I'm not like...
Days off over for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your dinner time in an hour.
Well, it's going to be dinner time all day because we got locked down again. So I have nothing better to do but eat.
Your R number's gone up.
So crazy.
Your R's up. Arse up. There we go.
Your
arse up. Are you well, though, mate? You're not dead from COVID?
And- nah. Just obnoxious sinuses, but it's pretty fun when you go shopping. And, like, I need to get to the, you know, I was trying to buy a piece of fish, and the lady was just sitting there touching all the packages and staring at all the fish. And I didn't want to be mean, but I just needed her to move so I can grab what I wanted. And I just went, and then she was like, I was like, oh, good. So it's good for clearing the aisles.
We said the other week you used to cough to hide a fart. Now you fart to hide a cough.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I need to update my my social programming for myself. So I've got that right.
Talking of which, Jeffrey, how the devil are you, buddy? As he takes a swig of coffee. Don't rush your swig of coffee, mate.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, but maybe I should take another. Now, actually, it's tea. I'm not a coffee guy.
Okay.
Today is Earl Grey with honey and oat milk. I'm doing great, and it's awesome to get to hang out with you twice in 1 week.
That was the most subtle dig I've ever had.
I say that with love. It's great to get to hang out with you.
Oh, mate. Big Show was all right last night, apart from that one comment from Alistair. I was like, what was that about? I've lost you, Ewan. Have you? No. Okay.
See, this is what day drinking does to you. Or to,
yeah. Oh, I wish. God, I wouldn't give for a whiskey now. I've had a week off the booze because I've been drinking too much. So I just thought, I've got to have a week off. But I've had a week off.
Yeah, it's all about pacing yourself.
Yeah, no, I wasn't pacing myself. I put on weight over lockdown, so I'm back on the diet now. I've done well this week. I've lost about 3 kilos. 6 pounds.
Nice.
7 pounds. I'll take it.
Was that 12? Was that like $12?
No, I already converted it to American when I did pounds.
That was a joke, dude.
I know. See, that's just, I'm tired. Next to him, Patrice, how you doing?
Doing good, and I actually have coffee, so I'm going to drink it later, though. Doing good. Took yesterday off, took today off, so like long weekend, and yeah.
So
very happy.
As of next month, it'll have been 2 years since I stopped having diabetes, and at that point, I stopped drinking coffee down the office, and I stopped using the sugar in the office. And this week, someone came in for a cup of coffee and said, "Can I have a cup of coffee?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Do you take sugar?" Yeah, they had the last spoonful of sugar. 2-year-old sugar. I didn't tell them that. And I hope they don't listen to this show.
Well, it doesn't matter.
2-year-old sugar's gone, finally.
Spoonful of 2-year-old sugar helps the medicine go down.
And bring it back up again.
But at least it tastes good.
Yeah.
Or I hope.
I wish I had a coffee, but I've got no coffee. I'm down to about the last 2 teaspoons of coffee here as well. So.
Ooh.
I've got a perfectly good coffee machine that I can't use. I miss it. Last, but by no means least, Chuck Joyner in golf shirt. Are you heading off straight after this call to go out and play, mate?
That is my intention. I'm going to try to get in a quick 9 before it gets too dark to play.
What time do you need to, what's your hard out then?
Oh, but including drive time, I've got a couple hours, so I'm fine. Oh,
okay, right. Okay, we'll have a slow show then, boys. Just to piss Chuck off.
Chuck, we could have all gotten out of here quicker if you'd given him a better time.
Yeah,
well, I didn't know. But you know, I do have a question for Jeff, though. I want to know how you milk an oat.
Carefully.
I tell you, first, the trick is getting him to stand still long enough. And then you need tweezers to get into the tiny little letters.
I should have known.
Milk and oat. Right, show title done. I'll
have to get well done, Chuck. Show title.
That saved me an hour going trolling back through the podcast trying to look for something that made me laugh. Excellent, mate. We ought to have a counter here that's like number of holes left available to Chuck. It just slowly ticks down as we bullshit on and on and on. Right, the week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Oh, Epic is rumbling on and on and on. They've gone so far now as they don't really have a thing where they've refused, because they can't update the iOS and Mac apps. So
they can update the Mac apps.
Oh, right.
Just
okay.
Not the iOS apps.
Right. Well, they've refused to update both. And then they've sent an email out to all Fortnite players saying it's Apple's fault that the players can't get the new season. Now, the other thing is, after the last time we talked about this, I went home and I was telling Ellis about the fact that we covered the story, and he went, it's crap, I don't play it anymore. Why? Because season 4 was shite. And I said, so how many? He said, no one pays it anymore because season 4 shite. Well, there's obviously some people that do play it, otherwise they wouldn't be there. But I think they might be struggling a little bit. I think there might be some frustration in this, and a little bit of angst to the fact they want more cash, because they're really starting to over... It's like Mythic Quest has gone into recession.
Yeah, well, they clearly want more money. So, yeah.
There is a bit of a backlash in this.
They're being horribly disingenuous.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe if they want to have Apple change the way that the App Store processes or handles in-app payments, then maybe they should change the way they handle their own app store and set an example that Apple could follow.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting to follow there was this injunction that Epic filed to basically block Apple from blocking them from the store, and especially blocking the Unreal Engine. And what was really interesting, I mean, I think we've discussed this. I'm not on either side. I think they're both kind of bullies and both kind of wrong. But what was interesting is that the judge basically said, dragging in the Unreal Engine is probably overreaching, and they blocked Apple from doing that. But she also allowed Apple to block Fortnite, because she said, no, they caused that themselves. There is no harm to the user. It would be very easy to roll it back, and then Apple already said they can come back into the store if they just remove that feature. So it's on them, and she basically didn't agree that that Apple shouldn't block that. So Fortnite is blocked until they go back, and as long as they don't, it's Epic's fault, and the money they're losing is on Epic.
Well, some of the top-rated comments that are on the Mac Rumors thing, Epic failure, it's their choice, of course, but Epic treating Fortnite players as pawn shows their little stunt is just how little Epic care about their customers. Ballsy, give them that. Epic wasn't being impacted by Apple's App Store fees. They just wanted to see if they could get a bigger slice. There's an awful lot of backlash here about greed and about pawns of players, which isn't good.
No,
A really good breakdown, and it's going to be funny that I say this, but a really, really good breakdown from every angle was posted by one Renee Ritchie about maybe a week ago. And if you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it, because he actually breaks it down very, very good. And he did the typical sort of high level journalism thing where he went, okay, Epic, 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 and then he went Apple, 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 and then he went in the middle and kind of explained, you know, like Patrice said, where the both wrongness comes from. And at the end of his thing, he kind of fell, you know, no spoiler, he kind of fell on Apple's side, but more or less for the same reason as the guys that are commenting in Mac Rumor, that, you know, and we said this when we talked about it, Patrice. Yeah, it's really funny when your lawsuit was like, okay, Doc, you're kicked off of BTN. Okay, look, you, and here's your injunction. Like, they just had it. Like, not even, not 10 minutes, not 20 minutes. It was literally the next sentence was the injunction was ready. And then so like an hour or two later, Google was like, okay, you're out. And then, oh, Google, we got your injunction too. Like, they were just ready. And so all of that played off as shady, and it didn't look like the small guys ready to fight. Like, when you already had your paper in your back pocket ready to roll, it did look a little like planned out. And a lot of people were saying like a lot of this planning was even more just to get attention around the season release. But as you know, Ellis said, you know, if Ellis ain't feeling it, he's probably not alone. I would say a large portion of his population feel that way too. So they're struggling and they're just looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and, I mean, we talked about that, that the price that they're charging and where they're saying, oh, we're giving customers the 30%. That is not the true price, because they're still like, if they're using their own payment processing, they're paying probably something around 10% for that payment. It's like the credit card fees. And then, I mean, there's also a cost to the payment system itself. Mm. So if they're saying, oh, we're giving you the 30% that Apple would have charged, they're actually losing money by that. So this is a PR stunt. Like, you can guarantee if that like went on in a year or so, at least, they would probably raise the prices again because they don't want to lose money on it.
I'm really
rich. They would
probably
even go back to the same $9.99 and say simply, oh, this is a new price now.
And Renny Ritchie coming down on the side of Apple is absolutely mind-blowing.
like I said, but no, if you got to listen to it, don't just take my word for it. He did rip Apple for a certain part of it. And, you know, it's... This whole thing is, I won't say it's dumb, but it's kind of dumb, because at the end of the day, if Epic, if you have the ability to write a game like Fortnite, you have the ability to write your own store from the front place, but you didn't, I'm from the first place, but you didn't want to do that because you realized that putting it in a store that's connected to the, you know, myriad billion of phones that's out there, and, you know, and even on the Android side, you know, when you realize that people hated sideloading, you could have fixed all of that, but you just didn't want to because you were trying to, you know, make more money. And I get that. Companies, your job is to try to make more money, but there's a line between being greedy and being fiduciarily responsible. So, it's dumb.
The funny thing is, if you read the lawsuit, and that's not something that is widely talked about, it's not about Fortnite. Epic wants the Epic Store on iOS. That's the whole thing. Yeah. They want a competing store on iOS where they can charge the whatever 12, 15, 20% or whatever they want to charge. I think it's 12% right now, but I could see them increasing that and simply saying, oh, because it's iOS, we're charging 20. They totally want to do that. And I think that is actually the real plan behind it, because that one game, Fortnite, is not going to, like, I mean, it is going to be more their own paid processing.
Oh, aye, aye. Patrice, you need to pay your bill, mate. Gone off. We got none of that, by the way.
So now Epic is tapping into our stream to censor us. Yeah. Damn you, Epic.
You know damn well that Renny Ritchie was on the phone to Tim Cook before he posted the article going, listen, Tim, I'm going to say this, but I'm going to slag you off a little bit. Otherwise, people will think I'm biased. But I still love you. I'm not an arse-kiss.
Yeah, but you know, Patrice brought up a great point, because publicly, you know, that's what they're pushing for, that for themselves. But there are a lot of companies that would love to have, you know, their own iOS store so they don't have to pay Apple.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a big
everybody.
Thing. The other thing that strikes me about what Jeff said, though, and this would be a heck of a stunt, but if Fortnite really is, you know, not growing the way it should, or if the last edition chapter, whatever they call it, you know, was not there, is this a way to try to drive people back to it? You know, because the fastest way to get somebody to do something is to tell them they can't do it. You're not allowed to do this. Mm. And then all of a sudden you want to do it desperately, even though you really didn't care 10 minutes before. And that would seem to be it's not a bet the company move, but at the same time, you have to wonder if that isn't maybe part of the thinking.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, on the other hand, this is the only way how you can change Apple. Like, I mean, a lot of developers and not just big companies have complained about the 30%, and I think rightly so. And Apple simply ignored it. Like, that's fine. And unfortunately, it seems to be like the only way to get Apple to change anything on the rule side is with public outcry, with PR moves.
This is how to get the shop owner to stop charging for the use of their shop and take all the profits away from them for running the shop.
Yeah.
That doesn't need changing.
That's what Epic wants.
Yeah, but it doesn't need changing. That's the mode of capitalism. Yep. But it is topical because at the moment there is a Congress bloke, Cicilline, who's saying that there is uncomfortable market abuse from Apple, Google, Amazon and Facebook. The kind of common theme here is the abuse of the market power to maintain their market dominance, to crush competitors, to exclude folks from their platform, and to earn monopoly rents. And that's come up this week, and I think probably directly as a result of the Epic thing. That's the big idea, he said, about separating two functions. So if you're talking about separating two functions, you're running the risk of going through a complete breakup of your organization into separate ideological entities, and that is usually the downturn of all things into public sector. So we had the post office was mail and telecoms here in the 70s, and then they were fractured into BT, British Telecom, and Royal Mail. And then BT was fractured into O2 and BT because, it had got too big. And you've got to watch out because some of these companies could be cast asunder if a judicial review or a congressional review says, sorry, you are abusing your power to maintain your market share. And Apple, I think, is right in this case, but there are people who will use that to extort a negativity against Apple because eventually they actually want a negativity against Apple.
Yeah, right. And mark my words, Apple is going to come out with a rule change because of that, because they want to prevent any regulator from even thinking about doing anything about it. Basically saying, hey, look, we already changed it. It's all good.
Yeah, so and Apple was
829 on 828. The made a prediction.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but I can't sit comfortably with the idea about that. Effectively, Epic are shouting assault because Apple put their arm out and said, no, sorry, you can't come in here. You know, there's no assault taking place, but you know that arm was out, and it's, you know, like the footballer. Mm-hmm. You know, someone brushes them with their shirt and they roll over like 20 times, clutching their face and their nuts.
You mean Neymar?
Yeah, that's him. And it just feels
that really a thing that people do?
Oh God, Epic here is absolutely a blatant Neymar dive.
Yes, 100%. And you know, the other part of that that's absolutely crazy is if Apple does have to make this change or whatever, part of it will be because the complaints went to Congress. And if you watched any of that, you realize how little these guys knew about what they were complaining, but they were getting talking points either from some political action committee or someone in their office who told them stuff to say, but they were saying stuff that they really didn't even understand, you know? And it's kind of mind blowing that the people who can make this decision have absolutely zero clue about what's really going on, you know? And I think someone needs to sit there and explain to them, like you and said, if you remove this into sort of a brick and order standpoint and be like, this is what you're asking, you know, Safeway / Tesco to do versus what you're telling Apple to do. Like, you really want like everybody to put their stuff in the store and be able to sell it, and then make sure that the store doesn't get any of the profit, and never mind their infrastructure or the jobs required to do that, you know, whatever. And so that part of it is a little crazy. And I think at some point, Congress needs to take time to have a third-party independent person explain to them the situation in some sort of neophyte language, because they were literally making statements that were just like, you have zero clue what you're talking about.
They don't want to do that, though, because they want to grind the gills of Apple. they want to create an issue so that they can legislate change. It's a backdoor approach to control of large tech that they don't understand and can't control. Jeff, I've sent you some football fake injuries on YouTube and on through Twitter.
You just crack up laughing. One thing that happened, it's not really recently, but in the beginning of 45's presidential reign, he did a lot of complaining to Jeff Bezos about like, oh, they're hurting the post office because, you know, Amazon's hurting the post office, whatever, whatever. So in the time frame since that was brought up, you know, and again, removing all political conversation from it, Amazon's started their thing where they bought 66 planes and then they started their, kind of sort of last mile driving trucks, the blue prime delivery trucks. And then they expanded their 18-wheeler situation. So a lot of their delivery stuff has zero to do with the post office anymore. And really, not coincidental, post office lost a metric crap ton of revenue this year. So it's funny how, again, someone who doesn't really understand what works, if Amazon is shipping, the money is going to the post office. It might not be a profit thing, but they are getting revenue that's constantly in flow. And then with their new sort of distribution situation, a lot of that revenue and flow got taken out immediately, and it cost the post office billions of dollars. So even the guy who thought that, oh, Amazon, you know, getting away with 10 cents postage when they should be paying 50, now they're not paying anything. It's bad. Hi.
Oh, he's gone. He was here and he was gone. That was Brett.
Now he's just taunting us.
It's like, yeah, I'll come. Oh, no. You clicked that yeah, accept button. Now I'm gone. Stuff you.
The word you used earlier, though, is the word extortion. I mean, that's they're trying to.
Did I say that?
Public eye.
We just assumed you said it.
Yeah, no. Okay. Extorting the position. Yeah, definitely.
Extorting. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, you're right. What line for Brett? 5. He's just dialed in on it. So.
Okay. I told him 5. I was guessing.
Yeah, no, they are using it to create an issue. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone else behind Epic saying, do this, fellas, because then we can get Apple and Google and so on. Apple is also blocking Facebook. It's the late Brett Terpstra.
Oh, my God.
Not dead, just late.
Just late.
He's alive.
How you doing, brother?
I am I'm late. What else can I say?
Well, you're in good company. The only person that's never late here is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys.
Hi, what's that?
Chuck, you brown noser.
I was just taught that from an early age that... You know,
be
early
on
is on time is late, and late is unacceptable. So
I am habitually early for everything. Somehow I just keep forgetting, like my calendar doesn't give me an alert that this show is happening. And somehow I always forget to specifically tell it to remind me. So I end up just missing it.
Dude, I've had 2 backhanded insults today. That's like you're saying. Yeah, I'm on time for everything unless it's you.
Just the live thing not working Firefox?
I don't know. I don't watch it. I'm on it again. So you haven't missed anything. We've done Epic Games and Apple arguing over Fortnite, and we've done a congressman saying something. And we're just about to start. Apple has also blocked Facebook update, which highlights Apple's in-app purchase fees. So they weren't doing anything about it like Epic were.
Over Fortnite, and we've done a Congress
Jesus. Oh, that's
it.
Working then.
And we're just about to start.
Facebook are saying that, do you know that Apple take 30% and Apple have blocked that? Which I think that's a bit dicey, because that might be anti-competitive. That's a bit different. They're not saying we want the 30%. They're saying, but do you know that Apple are taking 30% of your purchase if you go this route?
I mean...
That doesn't sit comfortable.
It depends on what the agreements say that Facebook has signed with Apple. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, wasn't it Facebook? I think I have this right. Or was it Amazon? It was Amazon, excuse me. But the sentiment kind of is the same, that Amazon wants you to sign up your podcast for distribution on their system, as long as you don't criticize Amazon for anything.
Yeah. That's just how I mean, Ben.
It's also not true. Like it's true for the first year, but if you keep paying, if it's a subscription, if you keep paying for it, it's only 15. But nobody says that. It's always 30%. Right. I mean, I don't remember who did that. I think wasn't it Google with YouTube TV who did that as well, where they basically charged extra if you were subscribing through in a purchase.
It was $14.99 on the Apple Store, but $9.99 if you did it through the web page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that others have done the same thing.
But that's right. Different. Like, I don't think that's bad.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
That's one thing. But, like, I guess the Facebook way of doing it is a little bit
weird. I think this is where Apple are going to have a problem.
Because you
can't, that's restriction on the speech of Facebook to say this is how the paying structure is. So mm-hmm. Apple is then reducing the transparency of the fee structure, and that is anti-competitive. There's no mm-hmm. question of that in my mind. I mean, this is the opposite side of the coin entirely.
Yeah.
But we're not going to discuss that then, obviously. Okay. Cheers, fellas.
I think the whole thing's anti-competitive, and I think the whole like 15% after a year distinction is, that's just excess verbosity. I think it's I think it's fine for the companies to complain. 30% a big cut, and the fact that they don't allow any other option for taking payment. Or even talking about other options for taking payment. It is anti-competitive to me.
So what we said at the start is that you can't, you know, these are the rules that the storeholder sets out, and if your product fails to meet the rules of the storeholder, then they can cut you out of the store, which is what the Fortnite issue is. But
right.
The Facebook issue is, here's the transparency of the fee structures, and Apple have cut them out. And that, I think, is a different argument entirely.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
I would even say in some European countries or in some countries in the world, this might actually be required to say, okay, like what are you paying for?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think that does relate to the Amazon thing about, like, you can be on our store as long as you don't criticize us. And mm-hmm. I don't know where exactly that falls in the realm of, legal liabilities, but it does seem it's kind of a dick move is what I'm saying.
There we go. That's it. It's a dick move.
I think that was actually what the judge said in the injunction. The Right Honourable Justice the Third said, it's a dick move. Stop it.
I mean, on one hand, Apple can, as a store owner, they can probably ask companies to do that.
They're blocking Facebook, so they're telling them they can't talk about the fee structure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if, to some extent, that is just contract law and they can do whatever they want. But yeah, it's a dick move because it is. I mean, I don't think it's free speech in this case, because it's two corporations talking about the contracts that they have. I mean, it's kind of like every other NDA about anything.
No, if I said freedom of speech, I didn't mean freedom of speech. What I meant was that the transparency of this pay structure, if you close down mm-hmm. the transparency of the pay structure, people are going to have no problem at all in connotating that to an oppressive, monopolistic behavior. That dotted line suddenly becomes a very solid line very quickly. Whereas the thing with Epic, it doesn't. These are the rules of the store. If you want to be in the store, these are the rules you've got to follow. That's fine. That's a different thing from don't tell them the rules of the store. Pike.
I'm going to argue with that just for the sake of arguing, because I'm not sure I even agree with this. But I don't, if I go to the grocery store or if I go to buy a new pair of pants or something, I don't have a fee structure as to how much the manufacturer gets, how much, you know, it costs in shipping, what the retailer is taking. I have none of that. So should Apple be required to publish that? And I mean, certainly it's been made public that and they haven't been able to stop that. But so where does the transparency end?
So my question to do with the analogy of you using your clothes there, Chuck, is how competitive is the clothing market in the high street?
Extremely.
Right. So that's the difference, is that the structure of technology is closed, because Apple's store is Apple's store. It only runs on Apple's devices, and Google's stuff only runs on Google's devices. So the analogy of the clothes, I don't think works, because you're not talking about a clamoring competitive market where customers are enhanced by the fact that these people are competing for their dollar. These people are locking people in for their dollar, and then when they've got them inside, are controlling what happens to them. So that's like that's like you going into Old Navy, if they still exist, and buying a pair of pants, and then you can only ever go back to Old Navy for your clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
That's what makes it hard. Is this doesn't parallel with anything? There's not a lot. I can't think of another environment.
Buy pants. That's what you get.
Sorry,
you can't buy them other places.
Just one more. Say that again, Jeff. We just over the dot there.
Okay, just the dick observation about the Old Navy comparison. If you go to Old Navy and you buy a pair of Old Navy jeans, that's the only place you could buy them. You can't go to Target.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other jeans.
So in that sense, you would have a jeans walk-in.
No, because there's lots of other jeans everywhere else. And there is no restriction on anyone making a pair of jeans.
But there's still Android phones all over the place, and there's no restriction on those.
There is.
But I think the big difference is switching. There's a lock-in. There's a definite lock-in to the platforms. And you see, I mean, there are people switching, but it's like it's probably a small percentage. And that's the difference. Like, you can easily switch from, I don't know, Old Navy to Macy's or to Target or whatever. You can. It's not as easy to switch from Android to iOS or vice versa. But I'm still going to take a little like issue with what you said, Ewan. The transparency aspect of it. What is the benefit for the customer of knowing that Apple took 30%? I would say it's zero, because it does not change the price. It does not tell anybody anything about the product. It's just that Facebook can say, oh, but bad Apple is taking 30% of our money.
Yeah. My concern, it's weird being center square here, by the way. It feels like an odd game show. But my concern is that us as app developers, we are basically Uber drivers. Like, we have no ability to negotiate our pay. We have no negotiating ability at all.
So you can't set the price of your own app?
What's that?
You can't set the price of your own app.
We can set the price of our own app, but we don't have any negotiation with Apple's cut. So we have like zero ability to sway that, which is why I appreciate big companies kind of taking these stands, because us little guys, we don't have any chance of it.
Yep.
I want total transparency on my next cable TV bill.
I would.
Some do.
Luck getting it.
No, absolutely. But
I was trying to say there was no other analogous situation, but cable TV might be it, because we don't know what the deals are between Showtime and HBO and all this other stuff, you know, that comes in with your thing. And also those we recently got a massive reduction because some of those unnecessary, you know, fees that they were collecting recently got outlawed. So we all got a massive reduction in cable bills. But for years, there was this extra $37 fee for it just says general fees. It didn't explain what it was. And those recently got outlawed. But I'm not getting that $37 back for the 10 years I paid for it prior.
And you're probably still paying it now. It's just badge better.
Yeah.
Right. I'd like to know, if I buy level 3 cable, you know, okay, how much of my money, the bill that I pay each month, is going to channels that I don't pay attention to, that I don't care about? Because that could affect my decision to, you know, I may give up a channel I want because I don't want to be paying for the four that I really don't care about, as opposed to wanting to pay for something. We're right back to support. I want to support that channel because they give me content I like. And if I have to pay a couple of these others a couple bucks, all right, I don't like it, but I'll do it. It's worth it. But that could make a decision for me here. And I think there's a similar argument with Apple, that if I know I'm paying Apple 30%, but I still want Brett's application, I'm going to do that. I may not like the 30%, but I want Brett's application.
So how would you feel if my application said our price has gone up $3 on a $9.99 app because of Apple's pricing? Should I be able to tell you that?
Yes.
Yes.
And I would pay you the extra $3, not just because I know you, but because I understand the cost of doing business. Like, even if I didn't know you, your app is good. And someone said, okay, I got to raise the price of my app because XYZ happened. It happens. I told my customers, you know, like 2 years ago, there is going to be a 15% increases in prices because all of my apps that I use to run my business went to subscription fees and I have to pay them. Otherwise, I can't do this job. So I'm raising the price across the board and no more breaks on quote unquote setup fees, because I used to waive it all the time. But I'm like, I never waive that stuff again because my overhead went up and nobody blinked. And at first I thought I was going to lose business, but not a single person blinked. All of my, you know, real deal clients, they all stayed. The new clients don't know that there was a difference, so they don't care.
So, yeah. And the only thing at issue here then is I can't tell you why I raised my price $3. And that to me,
you can just say my overhead went up. You don't have to give specifics though.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why you'd want to make a thing about it. It's like if someone comes in and says to Doc, oh, you know, why are you 20% up on your previous price? Well, my rent went up on the unit. Okay, right. So
see, I never wanted to until you told me I couldn't.
I'm going
to
put flaming dog poo through your landlord's letterbox.
But they don't even know the landlord. So, I mean, literally, there could have been a myriad of excuses. And honestly, for the most part, no one asked whatsoever. There's like two people that asked, and it wasn't because they didn't want to pay it. It was because they were just straight curious. And I was like, yeah, with Hiko, that's Hawaiian Electric, with Hiko raising their price and, you know, my software prices went up. That's just what I had to do. And they're like, oh, yeah, cool. Man, we should raise our price too then, because our Hiko bill just went up, you know, a lot too. And I go, yeah, it's, I mean, you guys might not know this, but we pay 39 cents per kilowatt. You guys, national average is like 13 cents per kilowatt.
I finally sussed this, boys.
That's German.
I finally sussed this. Epic just wants all the 12-year-olds of the planet to put flaming dog poo through Apple's letterbox.
Yep. Exactly.
That's well, like I said before, we used to throw crab apples, but I don't know if that's too like
crap
on the nose apples. Here.
Crab apples. Speculation coming.
Teddy.
That Apple is going to create a search engine.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that recently?
Did you talk about it last week?
Isn't this something that comes up periodically?
The story is new, but I think we thought about that like one of the last shows.
It scares the shit out of me. It does. I mean, I type the name of an application that I know the name of the application. I know I'm spelling it correctly in the App Store, and it still doesn't come up on page one.
Yeah, search is not their strong point.
Oh my God. That's the understatement of the decade.
On the other hand,
do you want to complain about Apple, Brett? Do that. Complain about that. Forget the fees. Just complain about the friggin' search.
No. They would sell you the ability to show up on search, which they do on the App Store. So
That's how Google makes their money, though. They sell you the ability to show up on search.
No, that is anti-competitive.
No, there's organic and then there's Google Ads, right? So in theory, that's what all the search engines do.
Brett, are you going to get thrown out of the Apple store if I leave that comment in the show?
No, I wouldn't think so. Depends on how petty they're feeling after all of this litigation they're going through.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to say I'm for this for a simple reason. It makes sense for Apple's privacy stance. This whole thing that they have with Google where they basically get a, well, undefined sum of money every year, which is billions, as far as people can guess, from Google. So that Google is the default search on iOS, or actually on all devices, on all Apple devices. makes no sense with Apple's stance on privacy.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo should be
successful with it. We'll see. I mean, Apple Maps is getting to a point where it is better even in some areas as Google Search. We'll see.
Maps is good now.
For me, the important thing is there an option? Like, is there a choice? Can I switch to DuckDuckGo? Can I switch to Google? Can I switch to anything else I want on my devices? If that is the case, then I'm going to give it a try. I mean, Apple might surprise us. I mean, they've surprised us with Maps. It took a while, but they've kept at it and they've improved it.
Now, if Apple's going to make their own search engine, my assumption is they will buy a search engine and rebrand it.
They didn't buy a Maps company, did they? I don't think so.
Yeah, and for a while that was just straight up a hot mess.
Yep.
they should buy Opera.
But search is huge. To effectively search the web, the amount of scraping you have to do. I mean, DuckDuckGo is doing a crazy good job with kind of building, bootstrapping that. But to compete with Google directly, the investment, they would be better off buying DuckDuckGo and rebranding than trying to build search from the ground up.
That's what I say. Buy DuckDuckGo above all.
Yeah. I don't think that scraping is the secret. The scraping is only to get the base. The algorithms behind it are way more important. Like predicting what is relevant for people, what people want to find, how they want to find it. That is way more important than the data set.
But Google and Amazon Alexa both do a better job at interpreting natural speech than I think Siri does. Like, I don't think Apple has a strong foothold to start on.
Yeah. I know. I was just sitting thinking if Apple did a search engine, it would work really, really well. Except the fourth or fifth return would be a cliff or a river. No? No, I've seen...
During the first 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a question for you, boys, while I'm thinking about it, right? So my phone, I cracked the screen, and it's been refurbished and replaced, and it works perfectly fine now. Face recognition works, and it's all good and ready and dandy. And the weird thing that happens is, if I go, hey, Siri, it doesn't come on at all. If I push the button, I can talk to Siri without a problem. I can record a voice memo, so it's not the microphone. But I got an application, a really brilliant, it was my cool thing last night on the big show, Prompt Smart Pro, which is a teleprompter. And it works beautifully on my iPad that's above the computer, above the camera at the minute. But it won't work at all on this one. It doesn't register that I'm talking at all. The app doesn't think that I'm talking to the microphone, but the microphone definitely works because voice recorder works and Siri works if I push the button. Any ideas?
Hey, Siri has never worked for me on any device, so I can't answer that.
No, this is definitely a hardware fault or software fault.
I use Hey Siri all the time.
This is for Callum, probably.
Well, no.
I'm assuming that you've already... turned off and turned the preference back on again for the, Siri listening.
Yeah, and when I turn it off and back on again, it says, oh, okay, let's set up Hey Siri, go on, then talk, and the wobbly line comes up and it doesn't register that I'm talking.
Mm. I have had that happen, and I don't have an answer for you.
Oh, great. That's
cool. Maybe something isn't plugged in correctly, put back together.
No, because the mic works. Mic works fine. The mic is perfectly operational.
It might be one of the many mics because it uses usually like a couple to discern between background noise or whatever.
Okay.
So maybe one of those.
Have you tried Control-Alt-Delete?
Is the next comment, what about a PRAM?
just rebuild the desktop.
Oh, God, you remember rebuilding the desktop? I forgot about that.
No, I've nuke and paved it, and the same problem exists. So,
Well, that sounds like a hardware, though.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear? You want to hear a funny iPhone repair story?
Go on then.
My girlfriend smashed the screen of her phone, and she had, I think it's called a Syrian insurance. So yes. She sent them the phone. They sent her a loaner. And then about a week later, she gets her supposedly repaired phone in the mail. And all it is the smash phone with a glass cover on it.
Oh, my God.
And the glass cover is, it's not a touch, like, it's completely inoperable. You can't do anything with the glass cover on it. So my assumption is that that was supposed to, at that point, go to a screen repair facility, but instead they just sent it back to her. But it was a weird thing to get in the mail.
Call your state.
That's crazy.
Unless it was fixed.
That's fraud.
And the, well, unless it was fixed, and there was, did you take a picture of the crack? Because if it was a different shaped crack, then it may have got cracked on the way back.
It wasn't fixed. This glass cover on it was, it, like, you couldn't pull it off either. Like, it was definitely something they put on to keep the screen from falling apart any further while they shipped it for repair.
Oh, God.
That's just wild. I just got an email from Cal this morning because I had a buddy of mine that had a phone that got wet. And, you know, he bought a new phone and everything, but his dog recently died. So he has some really important pictures on there. He was just trying to get him out and the phone wouldn't turn on. So I didn't trust anybody here. And so I said, hey, since you work for the airline, my buddy's an airplane mechanic. I go, do you guys have any, you know, like hookups with cargo? He goes, yeah, I basically fix all the cargo planes. I was like, cool. Send it to this place. It's going to sound crazy, but I want you to send it to England. And my boy will fix it. And he was like,
oh,
okay.
That's awesome.
And so I got email from Cal today. Oh, we got the phone in. I took it apart. I got it booted up. Everything works. So I just need the passcode so that I can, you know, get the data copied off or whatever. And then I said, my friend, he was like, holy crap. He actually took it apart. I go, yeah, they take the chips off, put new chips, whatever. But Cal was able to turn it on. And I was like, man. That under normal circumstance, it would have cost you like $80 to send it to England. But it was better than dealing with Brett just dealt with. So, you know, you luckily go, homie works in cargo, so he got it sent over for probably like $20-25.
How's
but
he,
hey,
it was how's he getting it back now then?
Same thing. Use the same account.
Oh, right. So we can just, so Cal's just going to ship it to like a cargo hub.
Yeah.
And then someone will filter it and put it on a plane.
Yeah. And then, well, I mean, that's awesome. He basically, they're all connected. So like all the cargo guys, they all take care of each other and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So
what's his name?
I'm not telling you that.
Don't text me his name because no, I should get credit for that because that's a BTN referral.
Yep.
That was a dark referral. No, I'm joking. Yeah. You get credit for that. Cal knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think that's incredible. Right. Like even somebody here, Jeff, like, you know, Cal was like, oh, just send the machine to me. I'll fix it. And like, it sounds crazy, but at least you know it's going to be in good hands. I told him, I was like, I know this sounds nuts, but I know this guy will get it working where if we sent it to one of the shops here, I don't know those dudes. I can't trust those dudes, whatever. So it was a safer bet to just ship it all the way across the water.
Dude, when he gets it back and it's all fine and dandy, get him to write a testimonial so I can read it out for Ryman Max. Don't send it to them. Send it to me so I can read it out to them.
Okay.
That'd be a really cool surprise. No, none of them listen to this show, so it's safe. Don't worry.
Joe was listening last week.
Oh, God. Was he not in the chat room then? Joe?
Yeah, he was.
This podcast...
you weren't here.
Oh, right. Got you, because I wasn't going to give him any stick. This podcast, Neil, is brought to you by TSO Host. Please keep supporting them. You're doing a great job. What we'd like you to do, though, you are buying loads of their stuff and you are using the offer code because we've had feedback from them saying that you guys are doing it. Thank you. But what they really want from us as well as is, and if you're not going to buy anything, don't worry. All you got to do is go on Twitter, go on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host 13 at British Tech. The more that happens, the more we stick around. Simple as that. We could not afford the bandwidth. We couldn't afford the two massive servers that they give us free of charge. So please, if you want to keep this show on the air, then make sure you get out on the Twitters this week and say thanks to them for looking after us. They're awesome. Off code is BTN20. If you want 20% off anything TSO Host though on your hosting service. And I'm in Max. Well, I can't think of a better advert than what Doc's just said. It is simply that. You know, they're a great service, really reliable, and you can send your phone in from across the world. As long as you work for someone in cargo on the local airline, and then you can get it repaired, simple as. They will repair anything with an Apple logo on it, regardless of the age. So if you've got a machine that's a legacy-based machine and you know Apple won't even touch it, you can send it into Iron Max. They'll get it sorted for you. And also, they do refurbished machines. So if you want just an email machine or a small device for the kids just to do some gaming on iOS, then have a word with them. They've got loads of refurbished items in there. And a lot of the time what they'll do is they'll take in an old device and they'll upgrade it. So they'll put more RAM in and they'll put an SSD in it. So it actually comes out, you know, almost a completely new machine. Likewise, if you've got any old legacy Apple stock that you don't want, send it in to them and they will appraise it and give you a fee for it. And they'll use the parts then for donor parts for other machines. So they're really brilliant. And they do data recovery as well. So, and they don't charge you unless they recover you. So check them out. They're absolutely brilliant. iMend Max. Make sure you mention BTN, because if you use BTN, then you get 5% off the fee. Superb. Right then, chaps. Time for the cool thing. Start us off.
Okay, so I am going to send you this link. It is an Amazon thing, so hopefully it comes up on your end of the pond. This was just released like yesterday or day before yesterday. But I spoke the other day recently, the last show, about getting an NVMe SSD drive if you happen to have any of the modern Macs, because like when I was building out the 2020 over here, it was going to cost $200 to take the upgrade to a 1 terabyte from the stock 512, but yet you could go out and get a external SSD that's of the same speed, if not faster, or cheaper. So basically, for $220, you can buy the Sabrent Extreme Q SSD. Now this guy will do basically a little under 3,000 megabytes per second on a Thunderbolt connection, and it will do like 900 megabytes per second over the USB 3.2 connection. What's really cool about this drive versus the way I was telling you guys before, which is build your own with buying a Sabrent drive and an enclosure, is this enclosure actually comes already built. Everything's in there. The thermal management, they've figured out from the inside, so you don't have to worry about like modifying a case. And you are able to, because of the SOC cache, you're able to basically maintain that transfer rate over large transfers. I mean, like moving 200-300 gigs worth of stuff, and it will maintain that full transfer rate all the way through, which many of the other drives like the Western Digital that just came out, and say the LaCie, the Samsung, whatever, a lot of people don't know this, but when you throw a large file at it, they tend to slow down because their SOC cache gets inundated, and once that's done, you go down to like 300-400 megabytes per second, which is just ridiculously slow. So if you have a Mac or you have an iMac and you're like that Fusion drive is starting to bite it, but you have a Thunderbolt 3 connection in the back, get yourself a Sabrent Extreme SSD, put your system on that, boot off of that, save the Fusion drive as just extra storage, and then you're able to maintain that full speed. So I got this because it's light, it's portable, it's dope for editing, and I go between the 16-inch MacBook Pro and when I finish getting this set up, this 2020 iMac over here. So moving projects back and forth is a breeze, and it light, like super light. So I will probably buy two, one that stays Velcro to the back of the machine and one that I use for moving data back and forth.
Excellent. That kind of speed as well, you could boot it from that, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. This is actually faster than the one that's built into the machine.
Yeah.
The one that built into the machine currently clocks in at around like 13 to 18. If you're connecting this guy up like on the outside and you're getting over 3, that's pretty incredible. On the one I talked about before, you when you build it, they technically can do up to 5, but the ones that could do 5,000 megabytes per second, you have to basically modify it so that it can stay cool the whole time. I don't want to do all of that. And I was going to. I was about to get in, and this drive came out. And I was like, this saves me from having to build it. It's not that expensive. If you compare the 8 terabyte to Apple's 8 terabyte, you would say it's $1,600 for the Sabrent. It's $2,400 upgrade for the one from Apple. That's how crazy. Talk about their 30%. We should talk about their hard drive and RAM prices.
Good one, man.
So, yeah. There you go.
if we get out a Mac version of Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, then you can have this one as a boot up for just that.
Yes. I hope we get that. I hope we get it so bad. But people are saying it's cooking 5700 XTs in the PC world. It's absolutely cooking 5700 XTs. So I really want Flight Sim Mac to come out.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on that list. We talked about it last night, and but it's not available. So bad luck. You're going to spend $6,000 on a new Mac Pro to get it to work. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
Mine is inexpensive and useful. I just learned about this last night. It's a macOS and iOS app called Subtrack, and what it does is it lets you keep track of all of the subscriptions that you have. So you can throw Netflix and Apple Music and CBS All Access or whatever. Just all of that stuff that that you're having to subscribe to, dump it all in here, and it keeps track of all of it for you, how much you're paying, when your next payment is going to happen. And you can use it for free, but you're limited to like 3 accounts, I think. And for $2.99, it opens it up so you can have as many accounts that you're tracking as you want. And it's like a one-trick pony, but the one trick it does is pretty useful.
Do you have to manually put in all of your subscriptions, obviously? It doesn't automatically go and get any? Or...
Right, yes. You have to manually enter all of those subscriptions.
That might be the bigger challenge, to remember what the bloody hell I've subscribed to.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
No. Not necessarily. Free?
Free for up to three subscriptions to track, and then $2.99 for unlimited subscriptions.
And that's a subscription service.
That would be funny. Oh, my God. They should have totally hilarious. Done that.
No, but it's one-time purchase.
Yeah, it's just a one-time purchase.
Good pick, mate, like that. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So credit for this one goes to Brett, even though I've actually known about it for a couple of years. It's Calendly. It's a calendar, like a scheduling solution. And I said, at our company, some people use it. I never really had the need for it. But scheduling a podcast is so much easier if you're using this. What it basically does is you can set up like different types of events, like, I don't know, your podcasts or, 30, 60 minute meetings or whatever. And for each event type, you can define like what slots are available, and it connects to your calendar. And then it can see like where, like given those like time spaces, basically where you're already booked. So you send the link to like a guest for a show, and they just pick any date that is available to them that fits them, and you get a notification, hey, someone just like scheduled an event with or a podcast with you, and that's it. So it's super easy. As I said, Brett was using it for Systematic. It's free for the basic plan, which is I think one calendar per user and some limited integrations, and then it's like $8 a month if you want like more. Or up, like 8 or 12, I think, if you want more than that. And it's super easy to use. It works on mobile. It works everywhere. It integrates with like iCloud, with Google Calendar, Office 365, like everything. Everything you need, really. So, yeah, it's just a really, really, really helpful tool. It's super easy to use, and I love using it. It makes the scheduling part so much easier.
Nice. Good pick, mate. Hi, hi. Paxi's here. Chuck, what have you got for us, mate? Good pick, Trace.
I don't think this has been picked before. If it is, I'll just reiterate it. It's an app called Camo that takes your iPhone and turns it into a webcam. Now, we've talked about doing some of this with DSLRs before, but this, and there are other apps out there that will do it that I've tried, and frankly, for me, they haven't either worked or they haven't worked consistently. And then, you know, as soon as you go to use it, you've got to jump through a bunch of hoops, and it's just a mess. This I've tried the demo version, and I'm going to purchase it. It just works. It will give you, in the demo version, it'll give you 720p. And it, with once you unlock it with the pro version, you can go up to 1080p. They said they're going to release a 4K version or 4K capability eventually. You have all kind of controls over the camera as well. So, you know, the brightness, all the things that you might in the past have used webcam settings for, you can use here. You plug it into your Mac, and then you have one little application to download from their website that lets your Mac recognize it as a webcam. You can use it with Zoom. You can use it with Skype. I've been playing with this, and in fact, I wanted to hook it up here today and just frankly ran out of time. But yeah, it is not inexpensive. It's $39.95. But the way I look at it is I'm buying a really, really, really high-quality webcam for $39.95. So go check it out. I think you will be very, very pleased with it, even if you just play with it in the demo version.
Well, Zoom's limited to 720 anyway, isn't it? So you're not getting anything by going up on that anyway.
But you are getting that better camera, you know, better lens, better everything. Look, it's not just all about the resolution.
Yeah. Okay, that's quite interesting. It feels $39 feels quite pricey, but I guess if you're talking about the cost of a new webcam, then it's not, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, you can't buy webcams anymore. Yeah, have you tried?
Yeah.
There are no webcams available
now,
anywhere.
As opposed to 4 months from now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you have an point. iPad or an old iPhone, I mean, you know, I've hooked it up with my 6S Plus and it works just great.
I'm sitting because I've got my, in front of me here, I've got the Canon HD10, which is creaky and old. I mean, this thing's got to be at least 15 years old as a camera. And it still works. Thank you very much. But I've got my iPad above it to run the teleprompter. And I'm just wondering, well, actually, if this will run on the iPad and I upgrade it and it'll do it enough and the camera's okay on it, then...
Yeah. And
do both.
And you and best of all, they're out of London. So maybe you want to just drive across the street and talk to them.
That was an Americanism where you were going to go, maybe you know them.
No, I wasn't going to go that far.
But wait, do you?
No, but you can probably, because this is new and because their app is kind of expensive, and they probably would need the promotion, so it'd be worth hitting them up just to see if you can try it. It's not exactly the same thing, but my streaming software is built in. You just plug any iOS device and it turns it into a webcam. You don't have to buy anything, but you are subscribed to use the streaming software. So I guess 6 and a half dozen or another. I think there's, like Chuck said, there's lots of ways to do this, but I think it's incredible when you can use an app like Filmic Pro, which allows you to, you know, go in there and really, really tweak your camera so it looks gorgeous and then be able to capture with that into the iPhone is incredible. Mm. And then, of course, there's CamTwist for the absolutely broke, but CamTwist can be a headache.
Yeah, Wirecam did a cam thing as well for a while, but that stopped. And the new one that they've got, they want to charge you extra for that, whereas it came free in your Wirecast subscription. Cool.
Yeah.
Great pick, mate. Like that. I'm going to have a play with that, definitely. Brett, do you have anything cool for us?
Have you guys seen Descript?
Descript. Go on.
Okay.
I've heard about it.
It's at descript.com. It's transcription software that you can edit your audio and video by editing the text of the transcription. And you can have it go through and automatically find all your ums and ahs and pull out, shrink anything longer than a second of silence. It'll shrink it down. And you can and it has an overdub voice where you can send it a 30 to 60 minute recording of your own voice reading Alice in Wonderland. And it gives you back an AI voice that you can just type and it'll speak as if it's you. It'll even add your breathing in. If it's a really long sentence, it'll make you take a breath in the middle of it. And it's scary good, like deep fake good.
Yeah, it's dope. A lot of the live streamer guys use that to repurpose their video. Once you're done with the live, you just basically throw it at Descript and then you use it to make little snippets and whatnot. It's badass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Hmm. Cost?
It's not exactly cheap.
I can't remember what it costs. I pay for the like $280 a year version.
A year? But
a year. And there's a cheaper, I think there was one tier cheaper, and I think there's even a free for like if you have 3 hours or less or something.
Yeah, yeah. 3 hours or less on per month is zero. Creator is 10 hours of transcription at $12 a month. And then Pro is $24 a month.
But here's why the 240 plus another 50 whatever, so that they are here's why the 281 is worth every penny of it, because if you are posting your video or your video snippets to YouTube and you put a proper "you did it" caption, you just made that video actually searchable inside of itself. I think most people forget that YouTube is a search engine. So they post all their videos, they don't fill out the description, and they go, "Man, I posted like 100 videos and no one's coming to my channel." The first thing I tell everybody to do in my trainings is go back and flesh out your descriptions. Actually fill it out and write stuff so that it can be seen. Google also gives you credit for the 508 compliance. I'm missing that number up now. I forgot what it is. But when you do the ADA compliance and you put in a proper transcript, they actually give you a little bit of search credit for that because you have gone out of your way to make it accessible to folks with disabilities. So they want to pay you back. So if you really want to step your SEO game up, take all your audio video stuff and use a plan like Descript and put it there, and it would change your life. So you'll make all that money back just in new subscribers or with, you know, onboarding. If you're, you know, cost per user acquisition kind of thing, you'll cover it. So it's so dope. You should just try it.
Good pick by the sounds then.
Yeah, I think so.
Nice one. Excellent, chaps. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. Shameless plug coming. Hold on tight, folks. Every Tuesday, Saturday, and I'm going to do British time for most people, 7 p.m. British time. That's the best way to describe it. But I am doing my live stream on YouTube, and I basically cover all questions and answers related to basically content creation. So that's your live streaming, that's your YouTube, that's, you know, using this now Instagram Reels, TikTok, whatever you need to do. If it involves video in order to add some spice to your promotion game for your brand or for your business, you want to come and check out the live show because I'm talking about it.
Excellent, mate. Very much. Jeffrey, where will you be?
How about Jay Gammon on Twitter and Instagram, making the podcast circuit as always. And very soon that interview show, and I still need to fix the ICANN issue with the website for that.
That Patrice discovered for you last night.
Yeah. So thanks for finding that, Patrice.
You're welcome. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show and the Big Show. All the links are on thepatrice.com, the social and all the podcasts and everything I do. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback, where I interview people about their food and food-related stories. And I still have to schedule the bread, so I'm going to do that.
Excellent.
A couple of days.
Cool. Bat them down to a date while you're here, now. Chuck, where would you be? On the first tee in about 20 minutes?
Well, this thunderstorm has blown up, so I kind of have I doubt it at this point. But anyway.
Have I got the fault? I got the blame for that?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we interview lots of interesting people. And you can find me on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner. And you're welcome for the show title.
Thanks, man. We love having you. Keep coming. And Mr. Terps, where would you be?
You can find me at brettterpstra.com and ttscoff on social. And both of my podcasts, Systematic and Overtired, have officially relaunched. So you can find those at systematicpod.com and overtiredpod.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again. Go back to the normal time. We've screwed around a little bit the last couple of weeks with timings, but hopefully Next Friday, we'll be back at 4 p.m. for Mac Show as normal, and 8 p.m. on Thursday for the big show. We've split them up again because I was getting a bit knackered. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather because it's going to be decent. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.